Well, we're going to look at the little story of Mary and the way in which an angel came to her as an angel, or came also to Joseph. Doesn't tell us it was the same angel, but in this case it tells us it's the angel Gabriel came to Mary and says she's going to have a child, and says that that child is going to be the world's Messiah. He shall be called Great. And at the end of his kingdom, there will be no end to his kingdom. It was a plain reference to the fact that Mary was to be the mother of Israel's long-expected Messiah. Really quite an event. Israel had been prepared in so many ways for this event by all the days from Genesis, right from the beginning. We've been told that a child would come who would undo the serpent's cunning, who would take away sin and so many other things, and would rule his people and give them peace. And many prophecies had been made about Israel's Messiah. But it's interesting that none of those prophecies prepared Mary for this event. And there was somebody before her who was more prepared than Mary. Mary's probably a teenager, because people were married quite young. But Zacharias, who was the father of John the Baptist, he was a well-studied priest. And you remember that he said, "How can this be that my wife should have a child at her age?" And he said, "Because you wouldn't believe me, the angel Gabriel, you'll be dumb all of the time that she's pregnant." That would have been the most difficult pregnancy to ever endure, wouldn't it? To not be able to speak about all that time. Well, he had a lot of time to think, and at the end of it, he knew that he needed awakening to the fact that God intervenes in our life. And the particular word I want to focus on today is that when the angel speaks to Mary, he says to her that the holy child to be born to you shall be called the Son of God. And so we're focusing particularly on the holy child that is born to you shall be called the Son of God. So what does it mean for a child to be holy? You've probably called your grandchildren holy horrors, but I don't think you mean anything like what this angel meant when he spoke to Mary. So we want to look at what it means that Christ is born as a holy child in particular. And he's born into what we might call a secular world. We're familiar with that word. But I want us to use the word profane, because that's the actual opposite of holy, is profane. Holy is something that comes from God, belongs to God, and is for God. Profane is something that is not all of that, but is the opposite of that. That is something that is merely human. There's nothing wrong with being human, because God made us. But if we think that a human being is all that there is, then that's taking something that's been made special and it's turning it into something that's ordinary. So if I uttered a profanity this morning, what would I be doing? No, I'm not going to say one, but can you understand? We all know the word profanity because we use it in that way. If somebody uses Jesus Christ as a swear word, we say that's a profanity. Do you see they're taking something sacred and using it for something ordinary, like being angry? I think we understand the word holy and in a little way, and we understand the word profane. But have a look at the word holy. If I said the word holy, we probably would think, that would include myself, except that I know better now, but by nature I think holy should be doing something good. Is that a connection you make? That we think holy, therefore must be doing certain things. But holy is not primarily a behavioural word. Holy is primarily a belonging word. If something is holy, it belongs to God. A pot could be holy in the Old Testament, not because it behaved well, but because it was used in the temple. Do you understand the meaning of holy is a belonging word? And it has implications for behaviour, but to actually think of holy as a behavioural word is actually to profane it. I hope I'm not speaking too strongly, but if Christians are merely people who try to be good, they're actually profaning their faith, because to be a Christian is primarily to belong to God. And because of that, we behave in a certain way. And so I suppose that's where we're heading this morning, that we just want to see, by looking through this little story, and because it's actually a beautiful story. It's one of the very tender stories, isn't it? A very wonderful story, the Christmas stories. And we sing, "O Holy Night." I think the next line is, "The stars are brightly shining." I don't know how he knows that, but anyway, it's not in the Bible. The carol knows it. "O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. The Christ is born tonight," I think is the next line, something like that. But they call it a holy night. Well, I don't know why they call it a holy night. I suppose because it's been devoted to this particular thing. But it's certainly a holy child. So when we say holy child, what do we mean? That's different from just saying he's a holy horror because he cries or something. What does it actually mean that he's holy? Well, it actually means that he's come from God, and that he means that he's for God. In particular, he's going to be the Messiah. "This child shall be called great. He shall be called the Son of the Most High. He shall occupy the throne of his father David," who is the beginning of that dynasty, "and of his kingdom there will be no end." So here was the birth of the Messiah. And of course, Mary makes the obvious point that she is unmarried. She's not in the way at all to have a child. It's distinct from today where people don't worry about that, but just from her point of view, no marriage, no child, no conception. And so she's in areas quite outside. Do you understand that holy takes us outside of things being merely human? I wonder if we see our life as merely human, or even just going to church is merely a thing that a human being does. When we were praying this morning, it always comes to my mind, particularly I'm visiting a church, it comes to my mind what a special thing it is to go and find God's people in another place. It is really quite special, because God has done something that a human being could never do. There's nothing ordinary about going to church. Nothing at all. It's a way of expressing the fact that we belong to God, that God's taken initiative. And here's a woman and she's going to be pregnant. She doesn't know a man. She hasn't had conjugal relationships with any man. She's in a new territory. And I'm wondering this morning if we're seeing our life that way, that our life is not simply a holy behaviour, but our life is holy because we belong to God and because God is actually going to do things. So, in fact, he uses a very lovely word. The angel uses a very lovely word. He says, she says, "How will this be, seeing I don't know a man?" And she says, and the angel says to her, "The Holy Spirit, the power of the Almighty will come upon you, and the Holy Spirit will visit you, and so that thing will be born to you, will be holy, the Son of God." Holy Spirit, holy child. So that reflects, if you think about it, that reflects, it's almost the same kind of wording, different actual word, but the same kind of idea. In the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Spirit of God brooded or hovered like an eagle, hovered over the face of the deep. And so into this inanimate creation came life and purpose and direction. So if you like, the Spirit hovered in order to make one creation. Now the Holy Spirit is hovering again to make a new creation. Is that what your life is like? A new creation? Do you understand? Holy is a belonging thing. What does it mean to belong to God? That's been huge, isn't it? That takes you out into another realm altogether. Well, certainly Mary is being taken out into another realm altogether. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, the thing is, we are created for holiness, but the human race chooses what is profane. And so for Christ to be born a holy child in a world that chooses profanity, that is anything that doesn't belong to God, is a huge thing. There's nothing wrong with being human, but if we limit it to that, then we're doing something very dastardly, really. We are made by God and for God to be indwelt by God. That's an ordinary human being. God took some dirt and he formed it into a man and he breathed into that and it became a living soul. Do you see how dependent we are on God being God to us, just to be human? So if God was not God, then it wouldn't be possible. Nothing would be possible. Can you understand? But God has made us in his own image so that we live and move and have our being, not just by eating and drinking and even just going to church, but by being indwelt by God. That's the way that God has meant it to be. Just think for a while of what it would mean to have a world in which God was breathing into everything. For example, if everything was holy, the whole world would be cared by, for, and reflected God. Can you see that? There'd be no greed or rivalry. You know, if my day, every day, was just filled with God. You know, who was the old songwriter who said, "If I had the world the way I want it"? It was Kamal sang it. I don't know who wrote it. "If I had the world the way I want it, what a great world it would be." I got news for you. It wouldn't be. If you had a world the way I want it to be, it'd be a very selfish world. You see, the world's trying to be good. I don't know if you realise how moralistic our present generation is. It's incredibly moralistic. They're saying all the time on the television that that shouldn't happen. People ought to do this, the government ought to do this, and neighbours ought to do this, and people shouldn't drive around the streets like that. It's all the time, isn't it? We have a very strong moral sense, but you appreciate the fact that people are not going to be moral unless there is a power that says you'd better be. That's what happens when the world becomes profane. It doesn't just use Jesus as a swear word, it says it's going to be good without God. That's profane, and it's not working, and it will never work, because this is made as a holy creation for God to inbreathe, for me to be filled every day with God being God, you know? How am I going to be kind to my wife? Just because I'm a great man? No, because I fear God, and God loves my wife. So what business have I got to do anything else than that? Do you see that's being very frank and very blunt? But I need God to be God for Grant to be Grant. I'm just not a good person. I need God breathing down my neck. Pardon the reference like that. It's not like that. It's God being wonderful to me that helps me to be who I am. Do you see how we could be the most religious person on earth and still be profane? Because we're doing our own thing. So just imagine the world with only generosity, only mutuality, where we care for one another and love. What a great vision, have a great vision of life and not just a selfish little one about I'm the centre of my own universe and so forth, which we're telling children these days. God has got a great vision for this world and we need God to be God to have it. We're not going to be like that by ourselves. So we're created, first thing is that Christ is a holy child and he's born into a profane world. The second thing we've looked at is that we're created for holiness, but we've chosen what is profane in our world. Is this just a dream, that we should dream of a world where everybody's just filled with God? No, every time you say the Lord's Prayer, how do you start to pray? How do we start to pray when we pray? Well, the Lord taught us how to pray. And when he said, when you pray, pray like this. He didn't say pray this. He said pray like this. Well, in Luke he does say pray this, but in Matthew he says pray like this. So basically all our prayers should reflect this. Our Father who in heaven, hallowed. That's the word holy. Holy be your name. First desire is that God would be God. Not that the church would be full. Not that my grandchildren would even become Christians, as much as those are prayers of mine, but that God's name would be holy. We respect it as what it is, because until I respect God for who he is, we'll never be what we're supposed to be. Do you understand that? This is not a dream. This is what we pray for every time we say the Lord's Prayer. What's the second prayer? Your kingdom come I want you to be reigning over everything. And I just want to be about the things where your power is at work. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's his will done like in heaven? Straight away and gladly. Do you see? But that's the world I'm praying for. It's interesting, isn't it? Where does that come from? From God's name being holy, hallowed, be your name. This is ordinary Christianity. This is nothing special. That's how it is meant to be. So we're created for holiness, but we choose what's profane. But now, the Holy Spirit is the means of this holy child's coming. This birth of Christ, this little word that's spoken by the angel Gabriel to Mary, is a completely new act. God has come down. Now, we're not here this morning to talk about the incarnation. We're not here to talk about Jesus being God, all of which is true. But it's what's happening. I just find it astonishing that God, who is holy, and that does mean that he is good, but it means that he is who he is, and everything that belongs to him. But I find it astonishing that a holy God should come into a profane world and love it. It's not easy to be nice to people who are ignoring you, is it? God does it all the time. He's a holy God and he comes into this world. It's a completely new act. So Jesus is holy in origin. He's born of the Holy Spirit. He's holy in calling. He's anointed to be the Messiah. And he's holy in accomplishment, because what the angel had told Joseph was, you call him Jesus, which is the same as what he told Mary, but when he spoke to Joseph, he said, you shall call him Jesus, because it's the same word as Joshua. Joshua is the saviour of Israel, you remember, in the Old Testament. And so you call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. When God, the Holy God, comes into the world, Jesus is holy in origin, Jesus is holy in his calling, and he's holy in his accomplishment. Jesus is not going to stop being Messiah until he has destroyed your sin. He's not going to be stop being Messiah until he has put his own nature into you, so that you live in the same manner that he lives, in a holy manner. And he's not going to stop being holy until God has raised him from the dead, so that he's then given the power to be your saviour and you can actually call on him. Now, what we need to do now is simply to see how this might come home to us personally. I find it very interesting. Mary asked a very simple question. How shall this be so, seeing I know not a man? There's just and maybe the same question you and I have this morning. How could something like this happen? But you realise almost exactly those same words were said by a leading teacher of Israel. And this man Nicodemus was looking at Jesus in John 3, you'll know the story. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he's impressed by him. He says, no man can do these signs unless God is with him. So he's got that much in his mind. And so Jesus says to him straight away, unless you are born again, or born from above, the word can mean either, unless you are born from above, you shall never see the kingdom of God. In other words, you'll never see the power of God, the kingdom of God, in that sense, the power of God. And he said, born again? How can that happen? Exactly the same kind of phrase. Not exactly the same words, but the same phrase. How shall this be? Shall I hop back into my mother's womb and be born? Do you know what I mean? He's got a mind that is so banal, so flat, so earthbound. Do you see what Nicodemus needs is to understand that God is holy, and that holy doesn't just mean being a good Pharisee like Nicodemus was, but being holy means being God coming to you. Do you see the difference? And we Christians are great at behaving in certain ways, but what about every day being a day which God comes to us? And me not being able to be even a husband to my wife? unless God is being God to me, let alone changing the world, unless God is God to us. You see? And so Jesus says to Nicodemus, unless man's born from above, he shall never enter the kingdom of heaven. What a wonderful thing it is that after Jesus Christ is crucified, Nicodemus, being part of the group that was helped to put Jesus to death, goes along and says, I'd like to be part of the burial procedure, please. He owns up to the fact that he knows that this man is special. And what a day, resurrection day, would be for Nicodemus, where he sees the power of what Jesus said to him. Nicodemus, unless you're born from above. Now, I'm sure that in a church like this and listening to the testimonies you've shared richly this morning, I know that you know and understand what it means to be born again. Well, what I'm arguing for this morning, or not arguing, I guess I am arguing for it and presenting it to you, is it's not just when you become a Christian that your life is holy. That is, it comes from God, and it's for God, and it's indwelt by God. That's what it means to be holy, to be from God, to be for God, and to be indwelt by God. That's not only how you become a Christian, that's how you stay a Christian. And that's how you become a fruitful Christian, and that's how you enter into glory. Everything, from beginning to end, depends on God. I love the little prayer, and I'll finish with this in Ephesians 3, I think, 14. I bow my knees before the Father, from all whom all heaven and earth is, every family on heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his grace to be filled with his... In fact, I'm going to have to read it. I thought I could quote it, but I can't. There we are. Ephesians chapter 3, one of my favourite little go-to places in the Bible. And it says, from whom every family, that according to the riches of God's glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Do you see how holy that is? That's not me. That's not any human being. But it is a human being indwelt by God. You see, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So here you have Mary's womb. How can a womb without impregnation bear a child? Don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Therefore, that thing to be born to you will be holy, the Son of God. How shall I, Grant Thorpe, live as a Christian? No worries. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Therefore, that life to be born of you will be holy. Mary's last words, let it be so to me, according to your word. That's it, isn't it? Let it be so to me, according to your word. Let's just pray. Dear Father, we're so grateful for these Christmas stories. We're so grateful for the coming of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. We confess this morning how banal and how flat our lives can be. But we thank you that you come, you love us a secular world, as we call it, or as a profane world. You love a profane world, you come into that profane world in order that you may be king, in order that you may be priest, and in order that you may teach us, so that we, being filled with you, may be able to live a life that is pleasing to you, that belongs to you, and that comes from you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.